All right, good to see everyone out this morning. Good to see everyone. We'll be in a couple of different places this morning as we continue to look at faith. We're going to look at faith in the life of Noah, and we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll be in Genesis also some. But faith, according to the writer of Hebrews, is what gives us confidence in an unseen future. We can have confidence in what we don't see and what we don't know, what's around the corner, because of faith. And we praise God for faith. Without Him, we wouldn't know what faith is. When we trust God based on what we know of Him, we act according to His will. It's faith in God and faith in who He is, faith in what He's called you to, faith in what He wants you to do, faith in what He has for your life. That is the faith which God commends, and which is required in order to please Him. Prior examples of this kind of faith were Abel and Enoch. You know, personally, I don't like the term blind faith, because our faith is in God, and God is our vision. So we're not moving without sight, we're just unable to see. God sees for us. Partly, that's half the battle for faith sometimes, is that we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's going to happen. I know one of the things they used to teach us in boot camp was to trust the person behind us, which means you can't see. You can't see what's going on, but they can. And we had to trust one another. There's folks that sometimes I sit down at a restaurant with, and they're comfortable with their back to the door when they would normally be facing the door, because I'm watching the door. And you can have a mutual respect and things like that when you have faith in the person that you're with. And you know what? We can have our back to the door, literally and figuratively, in this life when God calls us to stuff, because God's facing the door. God's manning the door. And we can have faith in God based on that. God sees for us, which is what makes faith so hard. We're prideful people. We want to know the end. We want to know if it makes sense to us first. That's pride. We want to know if we can calculate it first. We want to know if we can reason it first, if we can logic it first. It's not the way God works. We want to drive. We want to steer the ship. We want to command and take charge. But faith is wherever He leads, I will follow. Even though I don't have all the answers, even though I don't know how it's going to work out in the end, because of my faith in who God is, I'm going to follow as He leads. And once again, we're leading up into our missions conference. We'll be looking at faith this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at Noah and the extraordinary amount of faith that Noah had. And we're going to break down this Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 13, and then we'll pray. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked down upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Then it goes on down into making the ark. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have as your people to gather here in your house. And as we look to faith once again this morning, I ask you, Lord, to challenge our hearts. You've already challenged mine. Faith is something for us that at times can be a challenge for us. Anytime something new, anytime you ask something of us, Lord, and we don't have all the answers, our faith is going to be tried. Our faith is going to be tested. And the increasing of our faith will be when we can see ourselves trusting in you more than we are doubting in you and your leading and your guidance. And we ask you, Lord, to move amongst us this morning. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we'll also be over in Hebrews. We read in Genesis chapter 6 and also Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we'll spend a lot of our time here, but Hebrews 11 and verse 7, Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah. And then it says, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. Emphasis on things not seen as of yet. We'll look at what the warning of God, what it entailed. The warning of God entailed a worldwide flood. That's what's going to happen. Here's your warning. A worldwide flood is going to come. I've changed my mind about creating man because man is wicked. The earth had never been covered in its entirety. That never happened before. Now, you must admit, to convince people of something that has never happened before is pretty difficult. I forget how old Noah was when he started to build the ark, but he'd lived a lot of life. He'd seen some things up until that point, and he also knew there were some things that he had never seen. He had never seen it happen before in that amount of time. It'd be pretty difficult to convince somebody of that. By the way, when God asks us to do something that we've never done, we've also not seen it yet, it can be difficult. Well, look at what else Noah had never seen. He'd never seen an ark. Especially, without a doubt, one of that size, one of that magnitude. How about animals that have a food chain, not utterly devouring one another on the ark? Had to be a little concerned about that, maybe. What about animals two by two that were wild? How are they going to get here? But I believe very tamely and mildly made their way to the ark, and mildly and tamely boarded the ark. Were they animals still? Sure. They were animals still. But God was leading them, and God was guiding them. And we know he can. He used a donkey to talk to a stubborn prophet. So you know he can lead and guide the animal kingdom also. And he did. They were being led of God. And by the way, if God could shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel, God could shut the mouths of the lions so they would not devour the other animals on the ark. And Noah and his family also, he can take care of us. Now notice his faith also. Do you not think it did not cross Noah's mind that he was going to be living for a while with lions and tigers? I mean, we watch them sometimes, maybe if you do on something like Animal Planet or something like that, you see what they do. They just utterly devour something if it's in their food chain, if it's beneath them in the food chain. Venomous snakes, what about skunks? What if they spray? What about mice, maybe spiders? Noah had to be thinking, I have to live with the animal kingdom 40 days and 40 nights. I know folks that completely don't like animals at all. They don't like them at all. We got one here. Sometimes that's the case. Don't like animals at all. Some of us would have been out at the animals and insects that we'd have to live with. been along the lines of, I trust you, but I hate spiders. I trust you, but I hate snakes. I trust you, but I'm scared of lions. I trust you, but I'm scared of tigers. None of us have these things that I know of living with us, so we would not sign up to choose to live with them. So many times we trust God up until what is our hiccup, what is our fear, what is our concerns, and to be honest, sometimes we spaz if we don't have all the answers right away. I'm sure Noah had a lot of questions maybe, but you must have faith. I believe Noah was preaching faith to those people day in and day out as they were seeing what was going on, as word was spreading. I'm sure crowds were gathering. It's safe to assume word probably spread about a crazy preacher, preaching what had never been seen and bidding you to have faith in God, faith in what you couldn't see, faith in what you've never seen because God said it's going to happen. Imagine if someone came up to you and said, this is going to happen, and it's never been seen, and we're going to build something in preparation to what has never been seen. You know, there's some things that probably 30 years ago, people said, you know what, one day we're going to have this in our country, and people are like, no, we're not. There's no way we're going to be that advanced. There's no way there's going to be flying cars. There's no way there's going to be cars that will drive you to work, and you don't have to do anything. I just had an experience in someone's car that is new, and they didn't feel like driving, so he wanted me to drive, so I was driving. And if you set it on cruise, it wouldn't let you leave the lines. It would break for you if you got up too close to the car that was in front of you and stuff. And I'm thinking, whoa, I didn't trust it. I didn't have faith in it. I put it off cruise. He wanted me to put it on cruise so I could see what it'd do. Then I took it off cruise. You know, we like to be in control. We like to know what's going on. You know, and I wanted to be in control of that car. I'll break it. I'll mash the gas. I'll make sure I stay between the two lines. I will do that. But there was a time probably 30 years ago where they just said, you know what, that's not the case. We know a guy in government that has a Tesla, and I've told y'all about this before. It drops him off to work, and then he goes and drives Uber. I can't believe people get in the car with the thing. There's nobody in it. Okay, but it does that. And 30 years ago, people have said, no, there's no way. There's no way this is going to be around. This is what we're dealing here. You know, when people say, we're going to prepare for something that's never been seen, you doubt it. Now, here's the thing. The biggest emphasis goes before what man had ever seen, had never seen. Noah being warned of God. If God says something, it's going to happen. Even if it hadn't happened before, it's going to this time because God said it's going to happen. Imagine the faith that it took for Noah. This thing that God is saying is going to happen has never happened before. I'm not sure if Noah was thinking, Lord, you want me to build an ark, something that's never been done before either, to prepare for this event that's never happened before. By the way, some researchers believe, based on locations of where Noah's family lived, the ark was perhaps a 6 days' journey from the ocean, which would make him look even more crazy to people for building an ark of that size, 6 days' journey from the ocean. How you going to get it there, Noah? Don't have truck and trailer. How you going to get it there, Noah? How you going to get it to the water? Imagine what he went through, a preacher of righteousness, preaching God's destruction that is coming to the earth. Imagine how foolish people thought he was, how ridiculous he was. And you know what? People think we're ridiculous. People think we're ridiculous when we preach the Bible, when we preach the second coming, and we preach Christ has already been here, and they crucified him. They think we're crazy, but that he died on the cross for us and rose from the grave. They think we're ridiculous. Still today, if you think about it, for anybody that knows anything about boats and ships, the ark was not built for a river, a pond, a lake like that here around Mansfield. It was built for wide open water, water that had depth to it. hopefully you're beginning to see the faith that it took for Noah to build this ark. Now notice something else. The closer you get to a body of water, the more boats you see in yards, driveways, and towed behind vehicle. To see a boat made for the ocean quite a distance from the body of water to support a boat that size would be crazy to many. They'd view that as being crazy. Another example here about the faith of Noah. One researcher said the ark, in order to fit the whole earth's population at that time, now I don't know if this is quite accurate, would have to be 15 times the size that it was in order to fit everybody. Probably need to be bigger than that. But God in his foreknowledge knew that only Noah and his 8 family members would make up that human population. Noah had to have some idea as to how much room it would take, how little room they would have in their living quarters for others. Now, he's building this ark, and he's seeing the size of the living quarters for him and his family. But he's still going out and preaching. He knows there's not a whole lot of room for a whole lot of other people. But he's still going out, and he's still preaching. That's an encouragement to me. Noah preached for the one that would, the couple that would, maybe the family that would, the small family that would. That's what Noah preached for, and he was faithful. Even when things didn't look like they were going to turn out so favorably, he still preached. He preached anyway. I believe Noah, by faith, preached up until God shut the door. In the faithfulness of Noah, he preached for the one that would, the two that might, the family that may. Notice here when God told Noah what was going to happen and what God wanted Noah to do about it. It says, Noah moved with fear. Fear here means in Scripture, fear is used to express in good men the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. Noah did not move with fear, as in he was scared to death, moving frantically. Noah moved with fear out of a holy reverence for God. He knew that God was faithful. He knew that God was going to come through on his end. Noah moved with fear out of reverence for God. One commentator says Noah listed here also exemplifies trusting obedience. God's communication with Noah was relatively detailed. He was told about the upcoming flood and how the ark would serve to rescue mankind. That's in Genesis 6, 13 through 18. All Noah had to do was obey, which he did. Of course, Noah would have grappled with his own unanswered questions, which is what the writer means by referring to events as yet unseen. At the time God gave his command for Noah to build the ark, Noah had never seen anything like the flood before. He could see no physical evidence that the flood was imminent, but Noah chose to trust God. He had a reverence for God. Noah had a reverence for God. His reverence pointing towards what God had said resonated with Noah. And it produced an obedience in Noah. Noah knew there'd be a flood because God said there would be a flood. Noah knew he would build the ark because God said to. Noah knew God was going to spare his family and save them from destruction because God said it. It was faith. Don't lose sight of Noah's faith. Faith in what Noah had never seen before. This world had never seen it. And Noah didn't either. Noah just knew that when God says something, it will happen. He had a reverence for God. He had faith in God. He had trust in God. And he prepared an ark in Genesis 6, 14 through 16. Make thee an ark, a gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without the pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. That's pretty detailed. It's very detailed. Notice Noah's response down in verse 22. Thus did Noah. according to all that God commanded, so did he. You know, it would have been catastrophic for not only Noah, but everybody, his family, and the animals on that ark if he did not obey God to his entirety, to his instructions, and the way that God said to do it. Noah did it all. Noah had to have faith in all that God had told him to do, and Noah's faith was made evident by his response. When God warned him of what he had never seen and told him to build what he had never built, Noah did according to all that God had commanded him to do. Noah did all. Sometimes we arrive at junctures in our life. And by the way, when God tells us to do something that's different, or we haven't seen it, we haven't been there yet, when God does this, it automatically creates a juncture for us. Do you obey God because God said it? Do you have faith in God because of who he is? Do you trust in God because of who he is? Or do you rely on what you've seen? Or do you rely on what you can calculate? See, Noah did all that God had commanded him to do, and that took faith. Many times we ask of ourselves, when God wants something from us, when God asks us to do something, many times to get the calculations, we don't know if we could give more to the church. We don't know if we could give more to the church in efforts of our time and efforts of our energy. We just don't know because it's more. It's more. We've not done it yet. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. If I give more money, what's the outcome going to be? If I give more time, more energy and effort into the ministry, what's the outcome going to be? But when God asks us to do something, we've got to trust him with the outcome. Even if the outcome we don't think is so favorable. And you know what? There's been times where I've followed God, and in my mind, the outcome was not favorable to me. But in hindsight, God used it. And we just got to trust him that when he places something in front of us and he's requesting something of us, that we just do it and trust him with the outcome. See, Noah had to do that. Noah had to have faith. I'd have been scared to death that there's a worldwide flood that's coming, because one of my phobias is water anyway. Being underwater for too long, stuff like that, I don't know. Drowning is a phobia for me anyway. But so I'd have been scared to death of this worldwide flood and building an ark and having to be in this ark. I don't even like the thought of going on cruises because they're miles from the shore. So to be out on this ark and to know that where this big, huge mountain was, I'm way up above it now on top of the water. I mean, I personally have been scared to death. I'm just being honest with y'all. It would have took faith in God. It would have took faith in God every step of the way. Every step of the way, it would have taken faith in God. And you know what? But Noah had to trust God every step of the way. When God gave him something else to do, he had to trust God and trust him with it. You know, Noah had never been in an ark that big. He had never been in a worldwide flood. I'm sure he had a lot of questions. I'm sure, you know, and as the Lord does with us, sometimes he won't answer every question that you have. He just expects you to move. He just expects you to do what he's asked you to do. And if the Lord's leading you this morning or asking you questions this morning, the Lord has something in front of you that will take faith this morning. Trust God and watch him come through on it. It took faith for Noah to be able to come through on what he came through on. Your faith is not in your job to pay you more, or faith in your spouse to spend less, or faith in yourself to spend less. Your faith is in God, that the direction that he is leading you, he will take care of it. And you see, people think faith is if we can't afford it. People think faith is if we have the extra. If we have the extra time, then that's faith if God wants it. If we have the extra money, then that's faith if God wants it. If we have the extra energy or if we feel like it. But Noah built the ark by faith. Sometimes folks have asked, you know, because when you start following Christ, you start following God and he starts asking you of things in your life and you start surrendering those things to God. Sometimes we get to a point, we've all been there, where we say, how much do I surrender? How much do I keep surrendering? You know, because at times you feel like you're dying to yourself, and that's what you're doing. You're dying to yourself, literally, to live as Christ. So you're dying to what you want to do, what you want to say, where you want to go. You're dying to yourself to live as Christ. And I tell people, you surrender all the way up until the point that Christ is satisfied. That's how far you surrender. Until he's satisfied, that's how far you surrender. And hold nothing back. Don't hold anything back. It's all his anyway. Sometimes we just struggle with recognizing it. You could be bankrupt tomorrow. You could be headed out of here in an ambulance in the next 5 minutes. It's all his time. It's all his money anyway. Sometimes we just got to surrender it to him and tell him that it's yours and you do what you want to with it. You do what you want with my life. You do what you want with my time. You do what you want with, my time. You do what you want with your time, with your energy, with your money. I mean, it's all his. You give up until the point that it takes faith to come through on it. It's not, I promise this because I know that I have it. You exercise faith by using faith. There's a couple of results of Noah's faith. One, to the saving of his house. You know, that's the biggest benefit that we could ever have in this life, is that it was by our faith in God that saved our house. You know, if that's all Noah ever did, that was huge. He saved his own house through his faith. So many times, and I've seen it even in Christianity, people work like a dog, so to speak, for their kids, but never teach them faith. They have everything in the world, but they don't teach them faith. They got all the clothes, they got all the shoes, they got all the nice stuff. Their friends get stuff, they buy that for them. They work like a dog for the kids, for the family, for the house, for everything they got, but they don't teach them faith. Noah taught them faith. They got to watch it day in and day out as Noah built this ark in preparation for what had never been seen, in preparation to what he had never done. Scripture says God saved Noah and all his house. It should also be mentioned that God was able to use Noah. Now, I believe the only thing that would have changed in this story would have been the names if Noah was not obedient. If he was not righteous to begin with, I believe God changes who he uses. I believe God wants to use every single one of us in here. But if you don't allow God to use you to do it, he'll use somebody else to do it. I want to be used. For everything that God would have me to do, I want to do it. And that should be all of our desire. Everything that God has for me and God has a plan for you. Whatever it is that God has for you, it should be your desire to do it to a T, because you don't want nobody else doing it. You got called to do it. God wants you to do it. Your faith, like Noah, could save your family. Well, look at what else Noah's faith did. By the which he condemned the world. Condemn means to pronounce, to be utterly wrong, to utter a sentence of disapprobation. Against, to censure, to blame, but the word often expresses more than censure or blame. It seems to include the idea of utter rejection, as to condemn heretical opinions, to condemn one's conduct. It takes faith like Noah had. Now, you think about the opposition that faith had, that Noah had to come in opposition with. It takes faith like Noah had to look at the present world and condemn it as wrong and not right. That takes faith. Because we see this world. We see our job. We see our employment. We see our paycheck. We see our time. We know how our bodies feel. It takes faith to look at this present world that we have and condemn it as wrong. It's not right, and to reject it in its every form. It takes faith. Because we can see all of that, and faith is in God, who we don't see. And we don't see everything that's around the corner. Sometimes it's easier just to pick up another shift rather than just to trust in God. I've said before, just because you got the money Just because you got the credit don't mean you should buy it. God's got a way of giving people stuff. Now, if he wants you to go that route, go that route. But if he don't, just because you got the resources don't mean you should do it. God's been known to give people stuff for free. It's his anyway. So if he has a vessel that's willing to be led of the Spirit, that vessel that's led of the Spirit could end up giving you something. It takes faith. Faith to believe more in God than what you see. To believe more in heaven and its rewards and its actual existence than your rewards from your work, money, and its void promises. It takes faith to trade in what we see for what we do not see. It takes faith to reject this world for the unseen. It's sad, but many of our Christians, and I've been there many a times myself, are weak in the faith. They trust their employers to take care of them. They trust their family to take care of them. They sacrifice heaven's rewards on the altar right now. God is sadly at times on the back burner. Everything else takes priority. They want their children to learn social activities and everything else apart from God instead of learning to place God first and live for eternity. We discussed Abel last week. When you live for eternity, your life will still be talking after you're gone and dead. When you live by faith. All of these men and women who lived by faith. Their lives are still talking to us today, still encouraging us today. We'll read Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 40. This encourages me about faith. In verse 31, I mean, sometimes we limit who God can use. And in the hall of faith, so to speak, if you look at verse 31, I weren't going to read it, but I got it circled. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot Rahab. She's in the hall of faith in Hebrews because of her faith. Verse 32. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'm encouraged by this and what all God does by faith. All the things that God done in Scripture through faith. We serve a God that is still working, that is still performing miracles. Yes, he shows up differently than he did in the Old Testament, but I praise God, and you should too, that he's still showing up. He's still saving souls from hell. Every day that we surrender more, it's a miracle that God has been given the real estate in your heart. It's a miracle. It never ceases to be a miracle once God takes residence in your heart. It never ceases to be a miracle. That's always a miracle. Everything you do after that that pleases him is also a miracle. Because if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be doing that. You know right where you'd be because you were once there. God is still working. He's still showing up in churches where he's placed first, where his name is lifted up. And it takes faith in a day where truth is falling in the street. And people and even some preachers will tell you, you need to do this or you need to do that. But I can't be confident in good faith make decisions that God would not approve of. You know, you get to looking around. And it's not just the pastor. There's Christians that get to looking around. They see how big some other places are. They see what they're doing. They see what their buildings look like. They see how many people that they have. It's not just preachers that get to looking around. People get to looking around. It takes faith in God. It takes faith in God's word, which is still true and without error. And knowing that it's still for me and it's still for you to stay where God would have us. It's still relevant in the day and age in which we live, even though truth is falling into the streets. It takes faith to stay put, but I want my life to remain talking after I'm gone. I want this church to remain talking after you're gone. Invest and invest in faith. There's a reward for having faith. You don't want to miss out on the reward of faith. Had Noah not had the faith, there would have been no reward. And if you don't have faith this morning, there'll be no reward as a result of your faith. We'll look at what reward did Noah have also through his faith. We mentioned one already. He saved his own house, and secondly, he became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The biggest reward for Noah's faith in building the ark, the biggest ones comes after the fact, after the actions. The same goes for us. Faith without works is dead. If you're waiting on rewards before your exercises in faith, you can forget it. You won't be rewarded for faith until you exercise your faith. After Noah's actions, Noah received the rewards and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. An heir means an inheritance, essentially. By obeying God, by placing faith in God, Noah inherited righteousness. Righteousness is not something you're born with. You're not born into this world with righteousness. It's not something that you can purchase. It's not necessarily something that you can work for, though actions play a huge part. But we can also be an heir to righteousness if we're trusting in God, having faith in God. Romans 4, 3 and 5. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. At the end of verse 5, faith is counted for righteousness. Are you righteous this morning? Where's your faith at this morning? Are you trusting in God? Now, I've said it many a times throughout this year. Faith has been either exercised quite a bit, or you become weak in the faith quite a bit. I mean, it's one or the other, because it's just been a horrendous year, in a lot of ways. So, I mean, you've either exercised your faith, you've either grown in your faith, you've either grown in trusting God, or you've just been plumb beat down, and your faith is just weakened to the point that you just have no trust in God and his ability to bring you through, and God's ability to keep you safe, to keep you healthy, to keep you, to provide for you. Where's your faith this morning? Are you trusting in God? When he leads, are you following? Sometimes we as Christians, we have weak faith because we have a weak walk. The Lord isn't leading you to extend your faith. If you aren't walking with God, your faith is not increasing. Your faith should be increasing. You should trust God more today than you ever have, and then tomorrow more than you ever have. David had this faith. Psalm 37:5, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. David is saying, I've been around for a while. And if you think about David's life, he had been in a lot of different places. He had been a lowly shepherd. He'd been king over Israel. He was a young man. Then he was an old man. And yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. When you see this, as a child of God, it should develop your faith that you can do more, that you can go more, you can give more, because even when you think by doing it, it will run you into the negative, You will find that you cannot outgive God. I ask you where your faith is at this year. I saw in my own life, I mean, there was times where, you know, when I was away from God, where Sarah and I had a whole lot of time together. And, I mean, we still squabble when we had a whole lot of time together. And then, but once you started getting back close to God, even with less time, God done more in your relationship with that less time that you had. You know, God does a lot, even with lesser money. You know, God does a lot, even with lesser energy. I mean, we just got to give it to him. I mean, we saw the feeding of the 5,000 and what he had going into it. I mean, he can do it. And he can do it with us, and he wants to. You'll find you cannot outgive God. As a pastor, I want to send more missionaries. I want to print more Bibles. As a church, I want us to give more. I want to send more. I want to do big things out of this church. We serve a big God that wants to do big things through us, but we have to make ourselves small to make him big. I want us to do more on both foreign soil and right here in our community, but it'll take faith. And we must extend ourselves, and we must remember that we're not here for our time here. We're here for God. That's why we're here. He didn't place us here to just run around all day surviving here on this earth. He placed us here to serve him. That's why we're here, to bring glory to him. I'm not one of these pastors that are preached for you to extend yourself, but I want to extend myself. I'm not one of these pastors that are preached for the church to extend their self and step out on faith, but the church and the leadership will not step out on faith. God blesses faith. Just say, God will give this, but I don't know how. I give you a prime example. A couple missions conferences ago, I think I told you all this. Sarah had a number for Faith Promise. Her number was higher than mine. I went with her number. We were financially strapped. We had just moved here. Our house had not sold yet in Medina. We were renovating that house still, putting a lot of money into that, trying to sell that house. Hardly no money. The number that we put down, we knew when we put it down that there would be no way. We couldn't figure it out. We looked at everything that was coming in and everything that was going out, and we could not figure it out. There was no way that we would be able within our means to give it. We put it down on the faith promise card. Put it down on the faith promise card. Put that into the plate. And then, you know, we started praying. And a week goes by, and I'm thinking, okay, well, still no change in our finances. I'm getting a little bit more worried now. And then another week goes by, I'm thinking, okay, I'm a little bit more concerned now. Then the third week goes by, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is coming up here. I think the next service, this is coming up here. And so we begin to pray even harder. And then, as I said, somebody from this church gave us money during that time. And it covered our faith promise and then some for that commitment. And then God began to change our finances through that time. I mean, and those are times that you hang on to. You hang on to those times when you make decisions in faith and God blesses and rewards you in your faith. You got to hang on to those times. You need those times. Because our faith is going to always be tried. And we've got to rely on all those times, and there's a lot of them, all those times when God came through for us. And I found that a lot of the times the Lord makes me wait until the fourth quarter. Trying to teach me something. He's trying to teach us. I mean, I get to the point to where I'm doubting and I'm having ups and downs. I'm good this day, not good that day, good this day. Good part of the day, not good the other part of the day. I mean, just all over the map. And then God comes through, and then he reminds me, why, oh ye of little faith. Been here the whole time. You know, the Lord don't put us in stuff just to watch us squirm. Just to watch us You know, he don't get joy out of that. It's for our growth. It's for our benefit when the Lord places us in things and makes us wait longer than what we would like. He's trying to teach us patience, and he's trying to grow us in faith. God gave Noah a task, and Noah knew only God could do it. But through Noah's faith in God, faith in the unseen, faith in what he could not calculate, faith in that he did not have all the answers, you look at what God done through that faith. You know, if God can do it for us, God can do it for you. I've heard some of your testimonies. I've heard testimonies from different missionaries here lately. You know, I told you about one of them who had the money to go buy something, go buy a car, but God wouldn't give him liberty to do it. And then somebody gave him one. This was just a few months ago. Somebody gave him one. So, I mean, all he had to do is go and get it. You know, God does that. God will take care of you. He will. And God will take care of this church. We just have to have faith in him. And I just encourage you, as we're leading up into missions conference, to live by faith. And not just leading up into missions conference, but every day throughout your life, live by faith. Live by faith. You know, sometimes, I mean, and it's, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We should prepare. We should prepare for the future. But sometimes we rely too much on our preparations. We rely too much on what we have in the account, you know, rather than praying to God and seeing if he would have us use what's in the account or if he wants to provide another way. You know, that is, we really have to get back to just daily trusting in God, daily walking with him, daily having faith and trust in him that he's going to work everything out for us. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you once again this morning, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you've done in my heart in the area of faith. So many times, Lord, I myself can become weak in my faith. When things don't look like they're exactly working out right, when things don't seem to be going too well, I'm following your leading. I'm following you. But the scenery sometimes don't look too great, but we need to be reminded that where you're taking us is where you would have us to be. And you're with us all along the way. You go before us. Help us, Lord, to have faith and trust in you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.